Yes. Oh, okay. Lesson 6. Yeah, David rang the bell, so we got to start. If you turn your lesson book to lesson number 6, and then open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, because we're going to read all of Proverbs, and well, we're going to try and cover what we can in Proverbs. But yes, so yes, they're in the back. Yeah, we have extra copies. If you need it on the home, it's sitting on the back table. We still have a few more left if you needed that. But we're on lesson 6, choosing God as the builder, the home in Proverbs. And, you know, it was kind of fortuitous. We had a study with Chuck Cousins on the book of Proverbs where we did various topics. And then it was a mere 13 years ago that we had a study with Ian Rice on the book of Proverbs, if you remember. Someone said, yeah, 13 years ago. Sure, I remember that. And I can say that because I had to look at my workbook and I saw a date on it. That's the only reason I remember it was 13 years. So yeah, maybe you didn't remember that. That's okay. Let's go to God in prayer before we start. We have a few more coming. We appreciate those that have traveled coming from up north where it's really cold to our now hospitable weather. We've participated in winter long enough. It's now it's time to start summer again, it seems. Because next Wednesday we're going to have 90 degrees. So yes, we started our first summer. Say that again, Steph. Well, welcome to Florida. From 20 degrees, hard freeze, to we're back in summer. Yes. All right, let's go to God in prayer. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to come together and open your word. And as we study, Lord, we understand your foundations you've laid for us. The home, how important it is, Lord, that we have that foundation that puts you first. We know that as family and as members of congregations and as cities and countries and nations in the world, we know that that was your plan for us. And we need to make sure that that's our building block as well, that we put you first and that home will prosper. We want a special prayer on those that are having family members that need our comfort, the Everett Heaton family. We have friends that are in Macon, Georgia, Deborah Yates and her family as her mother is on hospice and needs our prayers. And of course, our members here, Lord, that are going through medical care that need your help and support. Be with the teachers of our kids and our kids' classes that the teachers are prepared and can have a ready recollection of things that they have prepared. As we open up your word and study on your building blocks for us, Lord, that comes from the book of Proverbs, that'll be profitable. In Jesus' precious name, we'll believe and pray. Amen. Amen. So we know who wrote the book of Proverbs. Solomon. Did he write all the book of Proverbs? No, the last two chapters are attributed to two others, right? Yes. And so we know that he wrote most of them. And we know when we look at 1 Kings 4, 29 through 34, he wrote a lot. Right? It says he had 3,000 proverbs and his songs were 1,005. And so what's special about Solomon?
He was smart.
He was smart, right? He was smart. He studied, right? Well, what did he ask for? God granted him because he asked for wisdom, right? And it says that he's what? Smarter than the rest of us. He was very intelligent. You know, there's a thing between knowledge and wisdom, right? There's people that think they have knowledge, but they have no wisdom. And so we hope we have wisdom. Oh, that's right. We have wisdom. We have Angela. We have Larry. We have we have wisdom here. So we have wisdom. Yes. We have wisdom. And God laid us down some foundations. And in the book of Proverbs, it's a comparison and contrast, right? hey, if you're this, don't do that. But if you don't do this, then you're this, right? They give that comparison and contrast and gives it a bunch of times. We have lots to read, and I have lots of different notes that we want to get through all these Proverbs we can. Well, first, let us go to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Proverbs 3, 1 through 6. Kirk, can you read that for me?
Proverbs 3, 1 through 6. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and a long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor in the high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths.
So we got to write it on the front of our heads and we have to have them dangling around our necks. Why do we need to do that? Well, it should be in front of us, right? It needs to be in front of us. Yes, it needs to be. Why does it got to be so close to us? We're in the world. We have to work in the world. We have to operate in the world. What's the world doing? Right, they're trying to pull us away from that solid foundation. So we need to make sure that we have that solid foundation. And we've already learned in the first five chapters or the first five lessons, right? God set that foundation from the beginning with Adam and Eve. This is the foundation, a man and a woman. They will have a home. They will have children. They will prosper. And what did he tell them? You need to be what? You need to be with me. You need to be with me. You need to have that foundation with me because what soon creeped into their perfect home? Sin. And then they put a wedge between him and God. And it's still there. It's easy to find it. But if we keep God first in our minds, if we keep him in front of us, we hope that wedge will not drive us away. And we hope that then those things around us, right, will not be an influence us and influence to turn away from God. Because it says there's a contrast in most of these things, right? If you're wise, you'll do this. If you're foolish, you do this. A wise man makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief to his mother. So mom and dad, you mean if we raise children that are following God's steps, that's easier on us? And then let's take that one step forward. Okay, we're grandparents and we have grandchildren that are also following God's footsteps. Does that make that also that much more? Yes. Because how much more precious to us grandparents are our grandchildren, right? Yeah, we like our children. But we love our grandchildren. That's right. Right? When a child follows the law of the Lord and is guided by wisdom from God, there is much rejoicing, right? But if foolishness creeps into their life or things that cause them to fall away, that's heavy on our hearts because we want them back into that foundation. And Jesus talked about that, right, in Matthew chapter 7. Let's turn over there. Matthew chapter 7. Because he talks about a foundation, starting in verse 24 in Matthew chapter 7. And he starts with this, saying, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken them to a wise man who built his house on the rock, like a foundation, a firm foundation. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall. For it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the... Oh, that's Florida, right? If you can see the ocean, you're on sand. All right? And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew, hurricane, and beat on that house and it fell and great was its fall. And that's the same thing in Luke chapter 6, 47 through 49, the same parallel verses. So where should our foundation be? It should be on the rock. What? That's God's word, right? Our sword, the rock. And he says, but we also have to do what? I hear these things. I'm told these things, but I have to do what? I have to be a doer. Okay, so I have to do those things. Not just, hey, I heard it. That's right. That's great. Fine. But yeah, his commands are pretty tough on me to follow. So I'll just listen and not follow them. And he called them what? You're a fool for not following this. And then Solomon talks about, you know, the world has a lot of things that pull us away from being Christians. You know, in some of these, it talks about an immoral woman. You know, okay, beekeeper, what's on her lips? Honey, oh, yeah, beekeeper. Right. But in reality, it says as bitter as wormwood. I've never tasted wormwood, but I heard it's really, really intense bitter. But I've never I've tasted honey, though. It's good, especially the Sadler's honey. All right. Keeping the father's commandment and not forsaking the law of the mother. Keeping the heart safe when a child leaves home, because we need to make sure we give them that firm foundation. And then let's turn to Proverbs, back to Proverbs, chapter 6. And we'll go in detail in there too. But Proverbs chapter 6, and let's read verses 23 and 24. Proverbs 6, 23 and 24. Clay? So we need to keep his commandments in front of us, so the things that may sway us, the things that may take us away, will keep us focused. And foolish children are a grief to their parents. Parents who ignore God's wisdom in their training of their children in the way of righteousness will reap the whirlwind of sorrow. And we just read in Deuteronomy, right? They talked about the children. And when I'm walking by the way, when I'm in our home, when I have time, right, we should be teaching them. Yes. And we saw Joshua, and this was a discussion question we had last time. In Joshua, it says, you know, as for me and my house, we will. But then there was a generation after that that knew not God. Well, I thought they were taught by the way, and when they were sitting there. So that falls upon what? Us parents to make sure we don't fall down on our jobs to teach. Is it only the parents or the grandparents? Can we get involved in that teaching too? Absolutely. If it's not sitting down with the Bible, it's at least showing them what's important, right? Showing that what's important. And I like in this last paragraph, that the second to last paragraph, he says, when you have a child. And that's kind of a nervous thing when you're a new parent, right? Okay, where's the training manual? You know, everything has a training manual, right? Well, where's the training manual? It's right here, right? Yes, yeah, some of us start the training manual too late. We didn't necessarily start at the beginning, but it's there, so we can follow it. And as long as we keep that in our focus, right? Because we need to make sure that when a child is born, we're with God. And we have that focus that God is bringing us. Because the building of the home is where God loved, adored, respected, and worshiped, creates an environment that gives peace, security, and joy. Building a home where God is the center requires wisdom and instruction. So I have a couple other verses we want to read before we get into some of these questions, which are kind of lengthy in discussion. So let's turn to 17, verses 1 and also 6. So turn to chapter 17, and I want to read verse 1, but also verse 6. Gary, can you read that for me? 17, verse 1 and also verse 6.
Better is the dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father.
So grandparents, we're in there. The glory of old men. I'll wear that badge. Chapter 18, verse 22. Because it's not by yourself, right? It's not just the father in this. It's also the mother. So 18, verse 22. Ken, can you read that for me? Proverbs 18, verse 22.
He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord.
Yes. And then let's turn to 24, verses 3 and 4. Chapter 24, verses 3 and 4. Can you read that, Steph? All right, and then let's turn back to chapter 9, verses 10 through 12. Chapter 9, 10 through 12. Angela, can you read that? So the fear of the Lord is the beginning. And of course, we know it in Ecclesiastes, right? When Solomon wrote toward the end of the book, the last chapter, he said, you know, the rest of this stuff was vanity, right? I need to make sure that I'm following the Lord, fear the Lord, and keep his commandments and statutes. All right, we talked a little bit about who wrote the book of Proverbs. That's the question number one. Solomon wrote pretty much all of it except the last two chapters. And then we read from, or mentioned from 1 Kings chapter 4, how many Proverbs and how many songs. But now it starts into chapter 1. So let's go at the beginning here in chapter 1 and read some of those verses. So it's chapter 1, 1 through 4. Chapter 1, 1 through 4. David, can you read that for me? And so it says, what is the purpose then of Proverbs? What was the purpose according to that?
To teach wisdom.
To teach wisdom, right? And if I have wisdom, should I keep it to myself? So I need to pass it along. Okay, so I'm giving instruction. So I receive the word, but I also need to make sure I'm passing it along, especially to that next generation. Yes. And it says, what does a wise man do? Let's look at verses 5 and 6. Who'd like to read 5 and 6 for me? Ken?
A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand the proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles.
So a wise man needs to do what?
Hear,
but what does that mean? Okay, if I'm hearing something, what does that mean? I'm listening. I'm taking it in. I'm filing it away so then I can then increase, right? It says increase. So someone speaking a lot, are they listening? No. So a wise man will need to hear, and he needs to be of understanding, so he has to have that knowledge, so he can fight some of the things that's going to be against him. Let's read verse 7. It says, what is the basis of wisdom? Verse 7. Joe, can you read that? Verse 7?
Verse 7?
Yes.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
So the fear of the Lord is the basis, right? This is the basis, right? It says, what is the basis? I need the fear of the Lord. This is my beginning, right? If I fear the Lord, I will seek him, right? And I will walk with him, hopefully. And let's read verse 8. Sherman, can you read verse 8 for me?
My son, hear the instructions of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother.
So in this one, right, we put both father and mother in there, right? And it says right here, what does a wise son do? Wise son do? Listens. And don't forsake what mom says, right? All right, mom has some rules. Probably like clean up my room, you know. Follow those things. But I need to listen. Yes, David?
When I was looking at that, I was thinking of what Paul had to say in Ephesians 6:1. You listen, but you listen in the Lord. Because parents could be teaching you something that's not the truth.
Right. And if the parents have a good foundation, then that foundation should be passed along. But if the parents don't have a good foundation, then they're not following that Lord. Right. And then it gives us five different passages, and it says, what does a wise son do? So before we start that, let's read chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. So turn to chapter 2. We're just in chapter 1, so turn to chapter 2, 1 through 5. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So a wise son will seek that, right? We need to seek God first, right? And put everything else to the side. All right. In verse 13:1, it says, what does a wise son do? Okay. Heeds his father's instructions, listens to him, pays attention, right? Especially if his father is what? Wise and following God's commands. 15 verse 20. A wise son makes a father glad. In contrast, but a foolish man despises his mother. So a wise son does what? Makes his father glad, right? Chapter 23, 24. And I added 25 to that. So 23, 24 and 25. Starting verse 23. I'm sorry, 24. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. So I added that extra verse in there. But it says, what does the wise son do? Right. Why? How does he do that? Because he's what? Wise. He has wisdom. He's following and fearing God and following his commandments. 28 verse 7. What does a wise son do? He keeps the law. He keeps God's commandments. Right? And if we're keeping God's commandments, we're not in that contrast of others. Chapter 29, verse 3. Whoever loves wisdom makes his father rejoice, but a companion of harlots wastes his wealth. So a smart son, a wise son, makes his father rejoice because he loves wisdom. And what does the foolish son do? Well, I have a couple other verses but without questions. Let's turn to 26, verse 21. Chapter 26. Verse 21. As charcoal is burning coals and wood to fire, so a contentious man to kindle strife. And there's also a contrast about fire, right? Can I take a immoral woman into my chest, into my breast, and not get burnt? That was one of the questions in one of those other passages. And then let's also read, starting back at chapter 1, verse 29. 1 verse 29. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. And we're looking at what does a foolish son do? Well, he He does not, right? He hated the knowledge. He hated reproach. He hated discipline. He hated following those rules. Let's turn to chapter 10. That's under 9, question A, 10:1. A foolish son does what? Is what to his mother? Grief. In B, 13:1, a foolish son does not listen to rebuke, does not listen to correction, does not listen to a proper way. Chapter 15, verse 5, a foolish son despises his father's what? Instruction, right. And in the same chapter, verse 20, a wise son makes his father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. So the foolish son despises his mother. Because what was the thing we were supposed to keep? We're supposed to hear the instruction of your father, but you're not supposed to forsake the law of your mother. Right, the law of your mother. And so this despises the mother. Chapter 17, verse 21. 17, verse 21. What does the foolish son do? Right. He gives no joy to his father. And can that be said for their mother as well? Yes. And then in the same chapter, verse 25, a foolish son is a grief to his father. And then chapter 19, verse 13, a foolish son is a calamity. Mine said ruin, right? Why would that be? Why would a foolish son be ruin or calamity to their parents? Causes trouble and strife, right? I want only the best. I want you to follow this path, and you're not following this path, and it hurts my heart that you had that foundation. And I don't want you to go off this path. It's like, I can see the train wreck happening. I can see it. I can see it up ahead. I'm trying to give you the right path, but it will hurt my heart because you're not following that path and you're going to this train wreck of your life. Chapter 28, verse 7. Whoever keeps the law is a discerning son. We did that earlier. But on the contrast of that, but a companion of, and mine says gluttons. Anybody else have a different? Shames his. So if I'm not on the right path, I'm on a bad path. And in chapter 28, verse 24, that's where mine also says destroyer. Whoever robs his father or his mother and says it is no transgression, the same is companion to a destroyer. And I'm sure we've all heard that where children have done that, taken from their parents, yes. And 29, verse 3. What does the foolish son do with his? Wastes his wealth, wastes his money. And then we have some, what warnings does God give children? 19, verse 26. I'll read that one. He who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. So what warnings? What should we not do? We should not mistreat our parents. We should not chase away our mother. And I shouldn't bring shame and reproach upon them. Yes. 20, verse 20. Chapter 20, verse 20. And I'll read that. Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. And so if you curse father and mother, do you expect to enjoy the inheritance of everlasting? No. Now let's turn to chapter 30, verse 11 and 17. 30, verse 11 and 17. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. And then also in 17 to go along with that. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pluck it out and the young eagles will eat it. Do we see some of that today? Do we see people disobeying their parents, doing things against them to harm them? Yes. As we get older, there's supposedly rules against that. You know, that's called elder abuse. You're not supposed to do that. Yes. But that's, we have generations that turn their back on their parents' good upbringing. And then the last two in this section, chapter 17, verse 21. Let's turn back there. 17, verse 21. He who begets a scoffer does so to his sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. And then 19, verse 29. Judgments are prepared for scoffers and beatings for the backs of fools. Giving us direction for our children. What should they do? Follow God's path. And then now we have chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, and we haven't broken them down in chunks. So let's turn to chapter 5 and look at those. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may perceive discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path of life. Her ways are unstable. Do not know them. You do not know them. And so, what wisdom are we trying to keep to our children? Don't mess around with bad women. Okay. Choosing a mate is important, right? Choosing a mate is important. And choosing companionship is also important. And here they're talking directly about an immoral woman that may seem like a good thing, and you may get this flattery, but in the end, that's going to cause you into destruction. And it says, what action must be taken to preserve purity in verses 7 through 8? What do we need to do if there's an immoral woman and they're causing us to stray? Stay away. Don't follow that path, right? Don't follow that path, David. And you think that he would follow some of his own advice, right? Because the influence of his wives and concubines did what for him at the end of his life? It caused him to follow,
turned his heart
away from God. Yeah, Daryl.
I was going to say, you know, I pondered that for years, but Solomon was a man, just like anybody else. And even though he had his own wife, what do wise people, what's the biggest trap for them? They want the answers to everything. Solomon lived his life. That's what all that was written about. The wisdom that God gave him to be a great gift, when it's misused, becomes a great curse.
Right, he had this knowledge. He wanted to know how everything worked, right? He wanted to know how plants and animals worked. He wanted to know how apothecary worked. He wanted to know about chemicals and chemical makeups. He wanted to fill himself with what he thought was knowledge, but he realized that that was all vanity and that he should be focused on one thing. And his influence by his wives caused him to then, toward the end of his life, you know, move away from God. But he even told us, hey, here's what it's all about. Here's all the things of life. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's it. All right. That's where we need to focus on. And each one of us have been in a career or a profession, and, you know, you move in your career and you do, you know, gain knowledge about your career, how it works, whether it's medicine, whether it's IT, and we gain these things. And that's good for our working lives, but remember, we need to keep that focus that we're also using the same traits as a foundation so we don't fall into some of this other stuff. Yes. And in chapter 5, it says, why do marriages fail in 12 through 14? Why? Two big words for me stuck out. Instruction and They hated those, right? They hated those. Well, you know, it's really hard sometimes as a husband to say, yes, dear, you're right. And vice versa. I'm sure it's the same way for women sometimes to acknowledge that your husband was right. But we all have to do that, right? We shouldn't hate instruction. We should embrace it. And it says, what counsel is given to a husband and wife in verses 15 through 23? Something that should stay with us forever and ever, right? I should love my wife. I should be in... Why did I get married in the first place? Because I was attracted to her. I have affection for her. She was the wife of my youth, and I should stay with her, and I should stay in love with her. You know, we may have disagreements, but we need to work through those. Steph can attest to that, that we may have disagreements, and we stay together. Yes, Angela.
Like he says, drink water from your own cistern. In other words, don't go hunting for somebody else.
Right. Right, and they even had a contrast too about, you know, that water from another stream or another spring is really sweet, but you should drink water from your own cistern and stay within your own marriage bed. Yes. Because I like Proverbs 30 verse 7, and there's you know, the virtuous woman's in there too, but 30 verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. And you start thinking about that. Well, we saw that in Ephesians chapter 6 as a shield, as a protection. I need to have those things in place. In Proverbs 3, 23 and 24, so let's turn back to Proverbs 3. And then I'm going to turn over to Psalm and read a couple of those. Proverbs 3, verses 23 through 24. Then will you walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Why? Because you're protected and comforted. Now let's turn over to the book of Psalms real quick. Just a couple to get our themes here on protection and shield. Chapter 3, verse 3. Psalm 3, verse 3. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head, gives me that protection, gives me that comfort. And I don't know if you've seen break, but chapter 5, verse 12. Psalm 5, verse 12. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him as with a shield. And then turn all the way to 119 verses 114. 119 verses 114. 114 says, you are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. And so we see the value of having that protection and that shield with us. And it says, well, what is the value of godly parental advice? Well, is there any value in godly parental advice? Yes? Why? Why is it important?
It'll be with you all
the time. It'll be with you all the time?
It has far-reaching effects.
It has far-reaching effects. It doesn't just last for a day, right? Even if we have children that stray, if we teach them in the right way, we hope they'll what? Come back when they're older, right? But it gives them the light, the path. It gives them a shield, a comfort, even in times of trial. You know, we talked about the prodigal son. What happened to him? Well, I had to find my lowest point and had to come back, right? Where's my safety? I need to go back to my dad's house because I know he, right, will protect me and he will shelter me. And I need to humble myself and tell him when he saw him, what? I have sinned, right? I'm not worthy of being your son. And in Proverbs 6, what warning is given in verses 25 through 35? Do not lust, and you cannot let sin touch you, because what happens if sin touches me? Am I going to be unscathed? Well, I can come really close to it and look at it, right? It kind of likens to what? A fire, right? If I touch a fire brand or charcoal to my chest, am I going to escape being burnt? No. Even if it just touches my shirt? Is it going to burn through my shirt? Yes. Yes. And then in Proverbs chapter 7, we'll see what we can get through before David stands up and rings the last bell. What mistakes did the young man make? He allowed to be tempted, right? He followed the wrong path. How seductive is the immoral woman? She has an allure, right? It said, come to my house, right? I have nice sheets. I have Egyptian fine linen. I have perfumes and myrrh and cinnamon on my bed. It looks very attractive. But we know what's the consequences of being tempted and temptation. Sin. And sin equals death and separation, right? So our home has to be that firm foundation. And in the last verses, it talks about wine and strong drink, right? That can change my perspective.